Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, Episode 5, Season 8, 1-0. It's the hump. It's hump podcast, isn't it? It's right in the middle. It's right in the middle of the whole season. So I hope you're enjoying the season so far. Try to do things a little bit different and kind of keep the same format and everything else. But either way, keep sending bits and pieces in. We're always open to suggestions and everything else. Jack's got a note from his mum again this week. He's not with us at the top of the programme. So this week, we start the programme a bit similar to what we did last week. We've got Ryan Champion, of course, there on my right. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, and you got the hump in. You know, things I didn't think you were going to talk about in a podcast, the hump was one of them, but there you are.
I set myself a little challenge to put words in that you're not expecting, just for you, right?
Yeah, well, I wasn't expecting that one, so well done.
All right, thanks, mate. And normally, on my left, I'd have Jack Bennion, but this week we've got the man who's dominating ERC Juniors, no less, Chris Ingram. Hello.
Thanks, Tony. Cheers. Good to be with you guys.
It's good to have you back, mate. Now, we missed out on getting you before and after the first round, so I thought, well, I'll get him in a couple of events time. Now, I don't know whether we're going to be classed as a blessing in disguise as such or something, but you've not been with us all season and you've dominated, whereas you were with us quite regular last season. So I'm kind of with trepidation now that I'm bringing you on the programme. First and foremost, Chris, congratulations on your first two results.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been an amazing start, really. Couldn't have gone any better.
What do you put that down to, Chris? You're a little bit more settled now with your co-driver, granted. Obviously, second year with the team. I guess all these things make a difference, don't they?
Definitely, yeah. I'm working really hard with Elliot and getting on with the team really well. They're pushing us really hard. So I think it's just more me. I'm more obsessed with it and I'm just putting absolutely everything into it because it's such a big year for me.
Now, like you said, you've got more experience with the team, but ERC had a bit of a shake-up with some of the rallies this year, as always you'd had experience of. But the Canaries, tell us about the rally and what were the challenges in the Canaries?
Yeah, it's my first time there, so there's three new events for me this year, with the Canaries being the first, and it's a brutal event. The roads are incredible. I think it's quite underrated. Like when you'll see the new footage now, and it's just some stunning scenery, stunning roads. It's probably the best event I've ever done. Amazing atmosphere. It was just an amazing new challenge, really. So to get the win, especially when I've not been there before, I think everyone expected me to win the Azores, but to go there and win, we proved the point, really.
And what was different about the rally for you then? I mean, obviously, very very flowing, very smooth stages. What were the actual challenges of the stages?
Yeah, very, very technical. And for me, the biggest learning curve was because it was 25 degrees, probably the ground temperature much hotter. To manage your tyres over such an abrasive surface on long stages was something I've never had to do. So that was that took a lot of learning. And first stage was a bit tricky for everyone because we just sort of had to guess how hard we were going to push the tyres. And I played my cards right. And the first stage was probably the most important of the whole event for us.
Now you went there, like, as you said, new rally, new challenges, but you got the result. As Tony's already said, you know, you're building a relationship now with Elliot, and I guess a big part of that is particularly going to a new event is getting your personals right.
Yeah, definitely, and just having two runs, it's hard at that pace when you know you need to be taking big risks, pushing really hard. Two runs of recce and is not really enough, so we spent a lot of time checking the notes as soon as we were getting back to the hotel, just putting every minute into the prep, really, and it paid off.
I mean, I'm sure having Jack Bennion there to help you with hair care products, that was probably a big help as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jack was a bit of a distraction anyway, to keep the stress off.
Now, like you said, it was a tough event in terms of competition as well, wasn't it? I mean, you actually, although you had a little bit more of a comfortable gap in the ERC juniors, you only won the R2 category by 0.1 of a second.
Yeah, but we didn't even have a clue at the time. We were only looking at the junior results, and then going into that last stage, we just had to get it to the end. We were leading by 20, so we did that, but funnily enough, in the R2 class, the guy who was second took 10 seconds out of us on the last stage to finish just 0.1 behind. So, and he was crying at the finish line because he was so gutted we'd pipped him, but we had no idea until the day after.
Well, definitely better to be one tenth up than one tenth down. What about the rest of the year then? What's coming up?
Well, the next round's Poland in August, so it's a massive weight. So I'm trying to put together one or two rounds other events before then. So I need to keep sharp now, keep pushing, but just going to try and win everything I do, really, because that's the only way I'm going to make a name for myself.
And what are you looking at doing in the meantime then? What events?
Well, the team have got some events planned with the other drivers in Austria and Italy, but I'd really like to do Ypres, so I'm working on that at the moment, but we're not sure yet.
I was just about to say, is the possibilities of Ypres due to the fact, of course, the BRC is going to be there as well? Is that part of the enticing part of doing Ypres, or is it just one that you want to tick the box?
Yeah, everyone's going to be looking there, I think, so it'd be good to do, but I've always wanted to win there as well. It'd be nice to go and win that before I move to four-wheel drive, really.
What is the situation with that, Chris? Obviously, I'm sure, you know, you're a career driver. You're ticking boxes as you go through. Do you even dare to think about what happens next? Do you dare to think about 2018 and what you could be driving then, what championship you could be doing, or do you not allow yourself to get that far ahead?
I think you've got to, really, because things don't happen overnight. So I'm always trying to make contacts and think of options at the moment, because I've got, you know, especially after these two results, I need to sort of use them as a bit of a platform to get in the door with people. But just praying that Opel develop the R5, really. That'd be the best opportunity. But if they don't, then I'm going to have to look elsewhere, and because that's the next step for sure. So I've got to.
It feels like you've been around a long time, Chris. Obviously, I've known you for a long time. I know Rye's known you for a long time. Obviously, you came up through the juniors and things like that. And, you know, you're still, what, 20, 22 at the moment?
Yeah, 22.
22. So, you know, it feels like genuinely you've been around for a long time. If you could give 17-year-old Chris Ingram a little bit of advice today, what would it be?
I think to not put too much pressure on yourself and concentrate on learning and doing as many rallies as you can. Not think about the results until it really matters when you have that shot. Because when I was a bit younger, there was a lot of, expectation from myself, which wasn't good. But now I've sort of got the experience. It's so much easier to go and perform well rather than with pressure on your back. So it's all about learning, I think.
And that's what you'd be telling 17-year-old Chris?
Definitely, yeah.
I'm sure we all told 17-year-old Chris that, but 17-year-old Chris didn't want to listen. Listen, mate, really, really pleased for you. Dominating, as I say, you know, the juniors and stuff, and obviously we'll keep rooting for you. Will you come back and join us again soon, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot, guys.
Good man. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris Ingram. We're going to go to a little break and then we'll be back with news, headlines and a few other little bits and pieces.
This is Absolute Rally. Case Notes Rally Magazine. Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from Clubman Rallies to the WRC. Available from all good newsagents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Case Notes Rally Magazine. Your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. It was good to have Chris on. As I say, it's nice to kind of mix it up and say, with Jack Benyon being on as jollies, we thought we'd get Chris on early doors. Obviously, the rest of the ERC events is reviewed by Jack right at the end of the programme. We managed to get him just, he was boarding an aircraft. Makes a change, really, doesn't it? Because normally it's Ryan Champion and it's me and Jack sat here and, you know, Ryan will be in some far-flung place like Sweet Lamb or something like that. But no, he's back because he's been grounded. He's still grounded, right?
Well, yes, I am grounded. Obviously, we're now lucky, Gemma and I, to have a little baby daughter to go with our little son. So she's doing very well, and Gemma's doing well. So, still at home looking after the pair of them for the next few weeks, but all good.
Do you know when you say looking after, are you really looking after, or are you just kind of there?
I'm assisting. I'm part of the team.
It's a team effort. Of course, it's a team effort. Listen, I wanted to crack on. Obviously, we're kind of in between events. We've got Portugal coming up, of course. In the not too distant future, it feels like. When I was coming down the M6 last night, we record this on Wednesday of this week. I was up at Cockermouth last night on a mission to get my gearbox done. But as I was coming down the 66 onto the M6, all the M Sport trucks with the recce cars on and everything were just starting to get on the M6 with me. So obviously those guys are off to Portugal. But in the meantime, there's always other bits and pieces going on. And obviously we're very, very fortunate, the guys at MN. Obviously Jack normally lets us know what's going on. Of course, the headlines that have come out today, front page today, right? Classic image of a 555 Subaru. I think you're familiar with these. Registration N1WRC and the champions to convene at Rally Legends showpiece. By all accounts, right, it's a bit of a first. They're going to try and mark the 10th anniversary of the sad passing, of course, of Colin McRae at the Rally Legends event in San Marino. And the ethos is that they're going to have every world champion from the era of since the championship started. So from Walter Wall in 1980 all the way through to Sebastian Ogier, who has been given permission to drive the Polo that he used last year.
Yeah, and this will be fantastic to see, won't it? I mean, Rally Legends has been building over the last few years. We spoke to Hayden Padden last year about it when he went, and it really encompasses all eras of rallying, everything from Group 4, Group B, Group A, through to the current world rally cars, and it gets a wide cross section of cars, a wide cross section of drivers, and they've always had some big names there, but obviously as a tribute to Colin. This year, they're really putting a focus on previous world champions, and I think is it something like 13 world champions they're hoping to have there this year, which would be fantastic to see. And I'm sure they've always got good crowds, but I'm sure the crowds will be huge this year.
You know what? There's a couple of world champions that, and this is me bad, by the way. You reel off world champions. You'll go Mikkola and Walter Roll, and obviously Tommy but. I genuinely always forget that the Didier Hurrell won a world title.
Yeah, he did. He did. So he fought for it against Carlos Sainz when Carlos was in the Subaru. Big battle between them. I think 94 off the top of my head, I think. Yeah. He had to finish from memory. He had to finish Rally GB that year, or Network Q as it was, to win the championship. He had a terrible rally. I think he rolled early on. He had all sorts of problems, but anyway, Carlos went off in the middle of the rally in the Subaru. Funnily enough, I was doing gravel knots for Martin Rowe that year, and Martin was on an early outing with a Peugeot team. And I remember Carlos going off and Didier taking a championship. But there is, like you said, there's some drivers that stick in the mind. Timo Salonen, for example. A big part of the Group B era, but Salonen's wins and championships maybe doesn't still stick in the mind as much as maybe some of the others. But we've had a lot of multiple world champions, I guess, haven't we? And they tend to get remembered. Although, having said that, you've got the charismatic people like Vatanen, who obviously only won it once, but everybody remembers Vatanen as world champion.
Here's another one, Mickey Biazion.
Yeah.
Genuinely just not one of those ones that, if I was on, I was going to say question time then, if I was on Mastermind rather, and you were reeling them off, they'd probably be the two that I'd struggle with.
But if that's where I'm going. If you go back to the late 80s, obviously Lancia were winning everything, and Biasion was a big part of that. Massive, yeah. Massive budget, massive testing, back-to-back world champion for Lancia. And, massive work effort in the car, always working very hard in the car. You could always see a lot of physical effort, and always sat very close to the steering wheel, I seem to remember. Obviously moved to Ford and was teammates with Delacour at Ford.
Nothing wrong with sitting too close to the steering wheel. I am guilty of that, by the way. I do get quite a bit of stick about that. I'm kind of guilty of that myself. Still, there you go. wanted to push on, wanted to congratulate Hyundai Motorsport on their first win, right, for the R5. It's finally broke its duck. A man, they gave it to a man who's been around forever, a big part of early IRC. There's Gian Domenico Basso, who, again, always very, very quick tarmac driver, and gave the R5 its debut win in this new kind of championship within a championship. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, I think really this, so yeah, you're right, this new TER series, I think really we're seeing like a new sub ERC championship, aren't we? A new, smaller European championship, and the championship has picked up some of the events that aren't part of ERC this year. So the Transylvania Rally, as you said, in Romania was the first round won by Basso, but then the next round's at Ypres. They're also going to Madeira and Rally de Valais as well, which were all previous ERC rounds. So obviously the organisers of that championship have maybe seen something that some of these rallies are dropping out of ERC, and maybe they can't afford to be part of ERC anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how that championship develops, and does that find itself a place under ERC?
I was just about to say, is it an FIA championship, you know?
No, I don't think it is an FIA sanctioned championship as such. I could be wrong. Somebody will probably put me wrong on that, but I don't think it has an FIA title.
Right, okay. There you go. So yeah, as I say, first and foremost, it's good to see the R5 Hyundai obviously getting its first win, and you know, getting the customer cars out was always a big part of what the Hyundai plan was. Now I think the weapon of choice at the moment is probably definitely the Skoda. Do we see Hyundai taking it to Skoda? Do you really think that they're going to be able to trouble Skoda, who just solely focus on an R5 program?
It's still early days for the i20, isn't it? And it will develop. And yeah, I see no reason why they can't. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Skoda do focus purely on the R5 program, which I guess makes it easier. But having said that, as we've talked about in previous weeks, any team that can bring, you know, three new World Rally cars in 3 years and develop an R5 car at the same time does have some capacity. And they very much set up a customer operation to focus on the R5. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll, continue to develop it. And as we've talked about, Tom was very quick in it in Kielder the other week. It's going well in Ireland with Barrable. These cars do take a little bit of time to develop. Obviously, the Fiesta is now up to its second evolution, so it's been around for a long time. The Skoda is quite well developed now. So, it will take a while maybe to get the best out of the i20. But yeah, I think it'd be right up there. And as you said, took its first win with Gian Domenico Basso, who I sort of link him to Fiat, really, all the way through the JWRC, the Junior World Championship, when it was Super 1600. I remember him in the Punto, and then moving into the Super 2000 Fiats as well. So he good driver on tarmac, particularly been around a long time, driven all sorts of good cars as well over the years.
You've just mentioned Tom, of course. Tom, when he was out, he was probably he was out first time. And I know they've ran it. This is what was quite unique. A lot of people looked into this. Don't you remember some of the early test shots of the Hyundai R5? Is that there was lots of images of them running on different tyres. I don't know if you remember that shot at all, but basically I think there was something that came out with regards to they wanted to try as many different tyres as possible. Now, everybody else seems to be running them on tarmac. Obviously, Tom debuted, I think, on a gravel event over here, certainly in the British Rally Championship. He debuted it on DMAC tyres. Of course, DMAC, fantastic weekend last weekend, also the weekend before last now for Elvin, obviously, and nice section today regards to Dick Cormack, the man behind it all, feels that they can go and challenge now on every event, not necessarily just the gravel ones.
And again, we talk about developing cars. I mean, God, developing tyres, that's another art in itself. And obviously the likes of Pirelli and Michelin have been around rallying for years and years and years, and have a massive amount of experience to draw on. And yes, Dick Cormack had a long history with Pirelli, but that's different to making tyres. You know, he was part of the development team, but now he's having to do everything from scratch. So But as much as he had an awful lot of knowledge, then you've got to gain the experience of how your tyres are actually working. And, you know, it's taken time for DMAC to develop over the last 5 years. But now we're seeing fantastic pace from DMAC tyres. And I guess the other thing is they're still a relatively small company, so they can react quite quickly in terms of changing maybe compounds or constructions, where that maybe takes a little bit longer with the bigger companies.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we had Martin Wilkinson on last week, and that was one of the big things he was saying. Obviously, you know, his team in the BRC have moved very much towards DMAC, having, you know, historically been connected to Pirelli. And, you know, the beauty for him is that, you know, they're only up the road and they can go and talk to them and talk about compounds, and they can go on tests and things like that. And so I think there's a lot to be said where you can actually go and engage with these guys, isn't there? Especially in this day and age, it seems almost, some of these other tyre manufacturers perhaps almost seem too big to actually go and physically talk. I'm sure an M Sport can, obviously Citroën can, but, you know, once you start dropping down, perhaps, you know, a rung or two, you know, it's certainly in terms of championships, it's very difficult to get that interaction with the tyre manufacturer and give some feedback and some you know, to, in order to maybe get a tyre tweaked or changed or talk about compounds or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. As we just touched on, you know, big companies do take longer to get things done inherently. Different departments and you know, a lot of people involved. So that is a definite positive for DMAC that can react. But just interestingly enough, another point, going back to Transylvania last weekend and Hyundai R5s, I did see a picture of a damaged one actually on Twitter that was out earlier. It looked like it had a reasonable impact at the front, and I think that was Hyundai's protege, Chi-Won Lim, who was out on that rally. So he's still very much learning. I think this is his first year in an R5 car. He spent the year in an R2 car last year, and you know, this is obviously Hyundai's hope that they can have a Korean driver in WRC in the future. We've seen Japanese teams, we've seen Mitsubishi, but particularly Toyota, really trying to develop Japanese drivers. They're continuing to do that. There's two obviously in the background with Tommy Mäkinen Racing, or now part of the Gazoo setup, but I think still running under TMR, as they're not in a Toyota product at the minute. But you know, we're still seeing Toyota developing young Japanese drivers, and interesting to see Hyundai developing a Korean driver now.
Yeah, well, I think the Tommy's program, I think that's run by Marco Martin's team. I think Triple M run those R5 cars for them, if memory serves. I may be wrong. By all means, if anybody's listening, you can put me right. You can put me right. I'm sure you can. You know, to find us, @absolute_rally on Twitter. And of course, you can email absoluterally.co.uk. Right. Before we go, I think we haven't mentioned it, because I kind of wanted to get to this point in the program where we could have a little bit of time and relax and breathe and talk about it. The very, very sad passing of, I suppose, what many consider to be certainly, if not the original Flying Finn, certainly one of them.
Yeah. Sad passing of Timo Mäkinen, and like you said, you know, really was one of the original Flying Finns. You know, I remember images of him with Rano Altonen and Paddy Hopkirk in the minis, the famous minis that won Monte Carlo. You know, he sort of made his name in British products, really, in the Cooper S, and then moved on to Escorts. And actually, one of the last rallies I sort of remember him competing in clearly was in a Rothmans Escort. We talked at length recently about Toivonen winning the RAC in the famous Sunbeam, and on that rally, Timo Mäkinen was part of the David Sutton Rothmans Escort team, co-driven by none other than Martin Holmes.
Wow, there you go. There you go. Do you know what? When we originally had Martin on, he was very difficult, I think it's fair to say, to prompt to tell some of these stories, because he's a very humble man. But it's not until you start kind of reeling stuff off like that, you go, wow, okay, yeah, you know, he was doing stuff like that. But I think he was the man who possibly, Timo Mäkinen, this is, sorry, who definitely possibly fast forwarded on the fact that you should always check your bonnet pins as well.
That's a good tip, I think, to anybody in motorsport. And we've touch wood. I'm going to find some wood because I don't think I've fallen foul of that, but I've certainly seen many people do it.
I've come very, very close. Now, one thing before we go is that obviously our lovely sponsors at Pace Notes Rally Magazine, please check it out. We put something on the Facebook page actually this week. We took a leaf out of their book. They've took a leaf out of ours. I'm not really sure, but they've done some retro bits and pieces this week, and they've serialized a book by a guy called Mike Nicholson, who again, it's one of those names that you might go, oh, hang on, do I know that name? Certainly Rye, very, very big name when it came to Vauxhall in this country and in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, obviously co-driver to, well, a lot of the Vauxhall drivers, Vauxhall and Opel drivers, the dealer Vauxhall Opel team at that time. So sat alongside people like Jim McRae, Terry Kirby, a real sort of staple co-driver, along with Mike Broad of the Vauxhall Opel dealer team, and then of course moved into team management and became the team manager of the touring car team for a long time after that, the British touring car team.
Very, very interesting piece, and they've serialised this book in the magazine this week, or this month rather, so please, please, please check it out. But one last piece I wanted to, especially for you, Ryan Champion, is it's weird because you're on the program every week, but there seems to be a big, big move. A lot of people investing now in period rally cars and putting them back to the specification. There's a lovely in this month's episode. There's a fantastic legacy done in the Rothmans colours and everything else, and it's just stunning bit of kit, pro drive thing, and they seem to be featuring quite a lot of these cars. And the reason why I mention this, right, because in last month's edition there was a Golf GTI which you recognised.
I did, as one of the Vauxhall, we've just been on about Vauxhall, the Volkswagen Junior Team cars. So in 1987, I think it was, the first year of Group A, then Volkswagen had a junior team. They had, I think it was a driver from England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland from memory, and an English driver was a chap called Simon Davison, who we're going to talk to in coming weeks.
We are, and it all came from that and Pace Notes. But Pace Notes seems to be doing this thing at the moment where they're covering a lot of kind of period cars and stuff like that. And if you're into that stuff, please check out the magazine. And of course, without them, we wouldn't be here. Right, at this point, we're going to go to a little break, and then we're going to come back with Sarah Williams, who again. It's a very, very quick lady who, if you're not familiar with Sarah, please check out some of her stuff on YouTube. Being synonymous with driving on gravel in this country and doing a lot of clubman events and kind of really, really holding her own, to say the least. And she's made this big, big jump to kind of go from just kind of sticking with what she knows and going out and doing the Renault Clio Trophy out in France up against some phenomenal opposition. And she tells us the story of how that came about, and also what her hopes are, and certainly about some of a tough arrival. So after this little break, we'll be back with Sarah Williams.
This is Absolute Rally. The Supercar and Rally Show blasts into Bangerhonde Racecourse on Sunday the 18th of June. On-track action, displays and fun for all the family this Father's Day weekend. Tickets on sale through www.tsars.org. The Supercar and Rally Show, Bangerhonde Racecourse, Sunday the 18th of June. We'll see you there. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally, and for the first time, and hopefully not the last time, we've got Sarah Williams joining us. We've been trying to get for the last few weeks. So first and foremost, Sarah, I apologise, because I think we've nearly had you on the programme for the last 2 weeks, and it's my fault. So I apologise. Okay.
No, that's fine. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. I know Rye's been speaking to you. Now, I was really wanting to get, I read an article in Pace Notes magazine, of course, and without Pace Notes, we wouldn't be here. They sponsor our program, about you going over to do the championship over in France. And the first thing I thought of was brave. And incredibly brave, because I've known you for such a long time in terms of rallying. We don't know each other that well, but I've known you for rallying for such a long time. And in my head, I think if I hear your name, I see an N9 N10 Subaru on gravel. So to see a picture of a front wheel drive Clio R3 with you driving it completely and utterly threw me. Just tell our listeners a little bit how that came about.
I don't know if it's brave or just but I don't know, I think I'm mad, but yeah, it's totally different. How does it come about? It is probably last year I was thinking about doing the Clio race series in the Clio. So we bought a Clio race car, and that was going to be the plan this year, to try some races. And then I don't know, we were just looking into things, and then Renault France got in touch with us, and they were just like, well, do you want to have a go at doing the French Championship in the Clio RC rally car? And I was just like, oh, you know, why not, isn't it? Because, you know, rallying's in my heart, really. So I thought, well, this opportunity is going to come again. So I just arranged a test. It all happened so quickly then this year. I arranged a test with ASM Motorsport in Barcelona. So me and my dad flew down there, did 100k, I think, test in this car, and then, like, 2 weeks later, we were down for the 2k rally. I was just like, oh, God, it's all going a bit fast, but it's loads to learn. It's totally different to what I'm used to, but, no, I still got a lot to learn, and, yeah, it's just been a whirlwind of a few months, so we're going back out now tomorrow to do Antibes rally on the weekend, so... Yes, it's come around quickly, but no, it's all good fun. I'm really enjoying it anyway, and I'm enjoying learning everything again. But no, it's totally different to Subaru, so there's...
Now, I'm sure, like you said, it's completely different to the Subaru. You've done a lot of gravel rallies over the years with the Subaru as well, whereas obviously doing the French Championship is tarmac. Like you said, you started off with Latuque, a rally I've done a couple of times in the past, and it always seemed to rain in Latuque. You'll have a different challenge with Antibes this weekend, but what was Latuque like as a rally, and you know, how did it go? And when you said different, what were the challenges for you?
Oh gosh, well, I've never made my own notes before, because I've always done rallies with Paxton, so that was one. We had to go out the weekend before to do the recce. So we had a couple of days then making our own notes, which is the first time I've done that. So that was a learning curve in itself. And then, yeah, it's a left-hand drive car, and I'm always used to right-hand drive. So I bought a little KA road car to go around Brooklyn in. So try and get used to that. And then we got it's obviously two-wheel drive, and we used to four-wheel drive. And then we've got, I'm mainly on gravel, but... I've done a bit of tarmac in the past, but nothing much really. So we had that, and then, like you say, it rained. So we had one dry day, and then the rain came in the night stages, which made it even worse, because I've done Rally GB, but we only managed to do one night stage. So, yeah, this is night stages as well, so, and it rained. And I don't know, all the gravel was all over the road, so it was a bit like a gravel rally. But yeah, it was really difficult actually, and I must say I had a lot to learn. But you know, if you can do loads of testing, but I think the main way to learn is to actually do the rallies and to be under that pressure and just to have to do it. You know, that's the best way to learn. So yeah, it was really good fun though. It's a shame we didn't finish, but yeah, we just hope for a better result this time. But I've seen on the weather forecast there's rain on the Antiques, so I'm taking the rain with me.
Oh God, really? You're going right to the south of France. So obviously, Latuque is in northern France, and like I said, it always seems to rain and be muddy on that rally. But Antibes, obviously just along the course from Nice, you'd expect good weather. But I'm sure, I don't know how much research you've done on the rally, but I would expect much cleaner stages on this rally than what you got on Latuque.
Yes, it's totally different. I've been watching in cars and stuff, and it's another learning curve, I think. So it's and they're using some of the Monte Carlo stages, and they're just all like fast flowing, you know, corner, but it looks good, and yeah, I think it's going to be a lot cleaner rally, because there's nowhere to cut or anything. So expect kind of things should be a bit better. But yeah, it's going to be a lot to learn again. But I think it's just going to be a learning year for me this year. So, but I'm hoping to get in the Subaru maybe a couple of times this year, I'm hoping. So I do miss that car. but yeah, it's going okay. So, but I wish I could do a bit more testing in between as well, you know, but it's difficult to get, because the car is in Barcelona, it's expensive to get flights back and forth all the time, so we'll do our best anyway and just enjoy it, and just, yeah, the whole experience, I think, is just totally different, so.
Yeah, and like you said, and I think you'll, as you go through it and as you learn from it, you'll find it'll even help you when you get back in the Subaru as well. Experience always does. You've got a good team, an experienced team with ASM, who's run Hayden Padden in the past, for example. But a lot of competition in the Clios, though, isn't there? I mean, for example, Cedric Robert is in the Clio, and he actually not only won and teams outright a few years ago. He was a factory Peugeot driver in a WRC car. So there's a lot of good competition in there, isn't there?
Oh God, yeah. And you know, they've been doing it years. So you know, the more you do the rally, the more experience you're going to get. But there's tough competition out there. I think it's quite specialist as well. So you know, these guys are doing it all the time, and like they've been doing it for years. So I think there's a couple there that haven't done this rally before. So.
I think, to be fair, Sarah, I think if they came over and did Mid Wales in a November on gravel, then I think it would be a fair comparison. As you say, I think you going over and going over there, because even, you know, there's a guy who was second on, who Florian Bernardi, who believe it or not, used to live in Wrexham, believe it or not, right? Yeah, he did. He went to uni in Wrexham. He used to work on my car for me, but he has been backed by the FFSA. For a number of years. He did the Twingos, he did the Adams, you know, he's been around doing those events, and I think he was out doing some events in its 208 R5 car last year as well. So, you know, as Rise just alluded to there, it is purely just about going over and I guess just getting as much learn. Was it a conscious decision, sorry, to learn more about tarmac, or is it just because the opportunity came about because Renault Sport put the call in?
Yeah, it was more of an opportunity, really. I was going to have a go at the racing, just to have a go at something different, because I did want to do something different this year, but I wasn't expecting quite this different at the start of the year. It wasn't planned as such. Like I say, it's just the opportunity came, and I think if I didn't take it, I'd regret it. So, you know, it's, I can't not do it. So
absolutely,
I've got to learn as I'm going along, really. But yeah, when you look at other people, I'm just thinking, oh God, if you... I'm quite competitive as well, so I don't like being like at the back. I want to be in the front. So it's just going to keep working my way towards it.
Just keep shipping away. Just the second a mile will come, and then it'll be 2 seconds a mile, and before you know it, you'll be mixing it. But as you say, it's such a good opportunity for you. Sarah, we will keep an eye on you, and we'll keep an eye on the results, and we'll get you back on the programme soon, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
No worries at all. Sarah Williams, thank you so much.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And folks, we'll be back after this little break.
This is Absolute Rally. Pace Notes Rally Magazine. Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports. From Clubman rallies to the WRC. Available from all good newsagents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine. Your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally. And like last week, Jack Bengian's finally turned up now. Hello, Jack Bengian.
Hello, Tony Simpson.
You've obviously clearly not listened to last week's programme.
Yeah, of course I have. I'm just electing not to rise to stoop to your level this week.
Okay. Right. Do you think he's fibbing?
I think there seems to be a bit of a time delay. Are you still in a foreign country, Jack? Are you still far, far away?
No, back in the UK, back in Richmond, so yeah, loving the UK weather again.
It's just a north-south time delay then, isn't it? That must be it.
I think he's thinking carefully about what he says to us. Yeah. Now, Jackie boy, you, of course, got to get a little bit of sun on your back watching rally cars last weekend.
I did. I've got my back looks like a drumstick lolly because I forgot to put sun cream on the back of my neck. Stood in the beating sunshine on Friday for an hour and a half. So you'd be laughing your head off if you saw me now.
Nice look. It was an event. Do you know what? Right, the RC coverage is fantastic, and obviously we know Julesy and the guys on the radio and everything else. And I didn't manage to get to the radio this weekend because I was doing other things, which Ryan and I have just been talking about off air. And Ryan's been a little bit busy, as you know, this past weekend.
Congratulations, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Jack, come on, but get up to speed. So you were effectively our man on Rally Canary. So I want you to educate us. I want you to lead us by the hand through this fantastic event, the runners and riders, the winners, the thrills, the spills, the excitement. Take us through it, Jack.
Wow, well, you picked the wrong person to do that with, haven't you? You should have got some of the drivers on to do it for you, because I'm sure they would have done a better job, but I could do my best.
I was just about to say, in fairness, Chris Ingram will have joined us by this point.
You've got a backup option, that's good. Good to have when I'm involved.
Chris Ingram is actually your replacement at the top of the show.
Fantastic. A good replacement too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Funky hair as well.
Yeah, it was a... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't match his hair, I'm afraid. But I can do my best to talk a little bit about the event. I think from my point of view, it looked the road's quite similar to Corsica, very tight and twisty, very few straights, really, really sort of abrasive tarmac, and you know a lot of the problems the drivers dealt with tyres, getting heat into the tyres in some of the sections where there was fog and it was a little bit moist on the surface. That was quite difficult for some of the guys. And then obviously when the sun was out, it was quite difficult for them to control the tyres as well. And brakes as well. Brakes were going off quite heavily for a lot of the drivers, and a lot of the drivers suffered issues with brakes. But Alexei Luktyanuk was the man to beat on the event, and he didn't fancy having much of a competition, so pretty much drove off into the distance and was pretty spectacular all over the weekend. I think, you know, many people might have saw the video on ERC of him in the Azores hitting a rock on the inside of a left-hand corner while leading the event. And, you know, the emotion that he showed on that video, beating on the steering wheel and screaming at the top of his voice, you know, it's really emotional and very, very sad to see that. So it was great to see him come back. And unfortunately, he didn't really have too much competition. Reigning champion Kaito Kaitanovic was second. Tony, are you happy with that pronunciation?
Actually, you know what, mate, that was amazing. I've been psyching myself up to try and say it, so I'm glad you have.
Brilliant. And then on the podium was the ERC championship leader who won as well, Bruno Magalhães, and he was driving Skoda Fabia R5. So yeah, Lexi ran away with it, not too much competition, and won the event last year. So he's clearly proven on this event now, and despite, you know, many people knowing him for his gravel prowess, seeing him in places like Poland and Estonia driving a Group N car very quickly, now he's showing that he can drive on tarmac as well. So, yeah, it was a good event overall, but Alexei did kind of ruin it by driving off into the distance.
Right. Bruno Magalhães, am I right in remembering him from IRC days? Really was kind of, I think was he a Peugeot supported guy, IRC? Am I getting that wrong?
I think you're probably right with that. Magalhães has been around for a good few years now. Yeah, I remember him in a Super 2002 or 7 for quite a few years. I think he had one of the R5 208s as well for a while. So he's certainly a man who's been around ERC and IRC for a good few years, getting a few podiums along the way. But interesting to hear Jack talk about the lack of the battle at the front between Luktyanuk and Kaitanovic. I mean, Kaitanovic, he's a very fast driver on tarmac. He's dominated numerous ERC rounds over the last couple of years, so interesting to see Luktyanuk put him in the shade on tarmac, because he's got fantastic speed on gravel. And could this finally be a year where Luktyanuk can get some consistency together, because he's shown incredible speed, and like Jack just mentioned, you know, some of the in-car with him in the Group N Mitsubishi, like his work rate in the car is fantastic to see, and I think we're all quite interested to see how he was going to get on in the WRC car when he was meant to do Finland, and then obviously he crashed it before the event, and you know, let's hope for him he has a good year this year, because he's often promised a lot, and he's, you know, he's delivered on single events but never over a year.
Jack, I tell you what, I was a little bit interested further down the field. There was two drivers that I was really interested in. The reason why, one was Brian Bouffier, or Brim Bouffier, it depends who you are and how you pronounce it and where you're from and everything else, but he's a driver that I've known about for a long time, for various reasons, and it's almost a bit like, I suppose, not quite a Juha Hänninen story, and I'm not just using that as a lazy comparison, because I think he also had some time with the Hyundai program, but I might be wrong there. By all means, someone put me straight on that. But Brian Bouffier, I was expecting to be, you know, Tarmac's thing. He was in an R5 Fiesta, Michelin tyres. I thought the whole package would be there for him.
Yeah, I must admit, I picked Brian to win the event beforehand. I thought, you know, if we were doing an absolute rally selector at the start of the event, Bouffier would have been top of mind.
That's clearly why he was nowhere near them, because we know how good we are at predicting.
Possibly, yeah. Poor Chris.
Possibly, yeah. He suffered from brake pad knock off, which you're welcome to explain.
Ryan Champion, over to you.
A simple one. That you go for the brake pedal and it isn't there. You tap the brake pedal and it comes back. So it's unusual to get that actually in something like an R5 car. You used to get that in modified production cars, where you're using production brakes, where you go over a bump and simply the brake pads move away from the disc, and the first time you press the brakes you just feel like you've got no brakes, and yet the second time they come back, and it's definitely not a nice thing to have. It does knock your confidence, and slightly surprising he was struggling with that on an R5 car.
There you go. Jack, sorry, we rudely interrupted there in order to explain.
That's okay.
The brake pad knockoff. You were mid flow.
No, it's good. That's what we do. But yeah, Brown finished ninth overall, which was really disappointing actually, and he was quite far behind some of the Spanish guys as well, and couldn't really explain why he was so far off the pace. He apparently had a similar brake issue in Corsica as well, which was his debut with the Fiesta earlier in the year, because he competed in a Citroen DS3 R5 last year. So newly sort of back with the Ford Fiesta and struggling to kind of make that work for his driving style. And that really showed on Saturday when he said in the morning that he'd fixed the brake issue, but was still a fair way off the pace. So, you know, he's quite positive looking forward that they can work on the setup now and get that sorted out for the next event, which I believe could be Cyprus, but we're not sure. It's not confirmed yet what exactly the next event will be.
With regards to the other driver I was making reference to, Griebel, of course, who won the R5 drive at the end of last year, of course, before becoming the ERC Junior Champion. The account that he's given of himself, is this positive? Do you think, Jack, you're around the service park and things like that. Is this seen as good progression for Griebel, bearing in mind, obviously, it's his first full season in an R5 car?
He was definitely frustrated. There's no doubt about that. You know, he finished 11th overall on the event and was third in the ERC under 28 juniors, which he won in Azores. So it was definitely not a great weekend for Marian, and someone who's sort of respected as a bit of not a tarmac specialist, but certainly asphalt's his favoured surface, and really struggled to get to grips with his first event in an R5 on tarmac. He was struggling with tyres. He took the wrong choice on Friday morning, and then was chasing the setup a little bit, and just never really seemed the Marianne Griebel that we saw last year, so dominant in the junior category and obviously fighting all year with Chris Ingram, and this on this event we just didn't see that sort of confident and sort of happy Marianne Griebel. He definitely wasn't quite on form.
There you go. As I say, we are, well, obviously we've covered the juniors at the top of the programme, of course, having Chris Ingram with us. So we wanted to get to the end of the programme, because Jack is away on another flight somewhere else very, very shortly, so he's not with us at the beginning of the programme for this week. So it was a really good opportunity. We didn't do any other business last week, And it was purely because Rye had such a good Any Other Business. It's so good, the Any Other Business this week, is that both Jack and I are banned from Any Other Business. So for the last couple of minutes of the program, Ryan Champion, give us your Any Other Business.
Well, you've built it up now, haven't you? Probably to be shot down in flames. But my Any Other Business is, what's the current state of the WRC, do we think? And where should it go next in terms of evolving? So to clarify that, we've seen a big change in regulations for WRC this year with the new cars, and everybody's excited to see the new cars, and they're performing very well, providing great competition, lots of different winners as we've already seen. So the cars certainly tick one box, but it's fair to say there's still a few areas of improvement. We're seeing much better coverage for the championship. We're seeing Red Bull directly involved now with Red Bull TV, etc. But I want to ask you two guys and get a bit of feedback from you, and we'll open it up to Twitter as to what else needs changing in the WRC. I'll kick it off. My first thing is, I'd still like to see a little bit more mileage in there. I'd still like to see the days flow a little bit better. You know, we do maybe three or four stages, and then the day stops for 2 hours while the rally trails back to the service park, they service, they come back. It just seems to take a lot of the interest out of the day. And I appreciate that, you know, the media have to get involved at some point, and that, you know, we need to service the cars and all the rest of it. It just seems to take a little bit of the competition out of it for me. I think I'd just like to see, you know, longer competitive days, if that makes sense. More competitive mileage in a day. What springs to mind for you, Tony, first of all?
You know what? Everything you've just been saying there kind of made me think of a little bit of a debate that we had. I think, was it before Mexico, when obviously there was that mega long day where they went and did one stage and everything else, and we debated on this program and various other places as well, whether, you know, there should be a kind of a promotional event, that whether that special, super special, should have been more of a promotional event rather than the event. It's still, I know we were meant to move away from it, and everything you've just described there with regards to it just took me back to the days of the clover leaf service park format, which David Richards tried to bring in when he was looking after the promotion of the championship. And I still don't feel like we ever really truly got away from that. And, you know, I know from speaking to people over the years, and certainly on the logistics side and things, that, you know, they don't want to have service vehicles trailing across countries and things like that, which is why we bring the cars back. And it's an easy cop out to say this, but I'm not a million miles away from where you're at. I still feel that, you know, we've moved on massively with the technology of the cars and everything else, but the endurance element of those cars is perhaps not being tested the way it was on a Safari, say, or an Acropolis, say, or something like that. Now, by all means, there may be engineers who know a hell of a lot more than me, who thinking, you know, who work in WRC or certainly freelancers and stuff. By all means, please put me straight. Obviously, we've just had Argentina and Mexico, and obviously we're going to have Australia later in the year as well. And I'm sure, you know, they're very, very tough events. But, you know, I just remember, you know, PWRC cars and Group A cars, you know, going through, you know, absolute, you know, boulders and stuff on Acropolis, and boulders on Safari and things like that. And, you know, they built Safari specials, and I guess it comes down to cost, right? I don't know, but I'm not a million miles away from you. I guess from the press side, especially, we should probably ask Jack.
Is that my invitation?
Yes.
Am I okay to go?
Yeah, absolutely.
I really like some of your points you've raised. I think the couple of things I'd add to that was, I'd like to see more tarmac rallies on the calendar. We've obviously talked on Absolute Rally a lot about different rallies that we'd like to see back, and I definitely think there's room for more asphalt rounds, and a return to America for me is really important. I think at some point a return to China is going to need to be on for the manufacturers to see the championship as viable in the future. So I think working on an event, you know, not for next year or necessarily, you know, within a time limit, but for some time in the near future, I think there needs to be a Chinese round and certainly an American round as well, for it to be a proper world championship. And the other thing I'd like to see is maybe it's just a bit more coverage of the classes. I mean, maybe it's just something I like to watch, and anyone who sort of listens to Absolute Rally on a weekly basis will know how much attention I pay to things like WRC2 and JWRC, and
That's not because I want to sound smart against Tony Simpson or anything like that. It's just because I quite enjoy the different classes, and I think there's some real stories to be told in those championships. And at the minute, I don't really feel like they're getting the coverage that they deserve, either via TV or social media. And you know, quite often these are the guys doing the championship on a shoestring, and you know, getting sponsors on board to put a lot of money in to come and do these championships, and not really getting too much back in return. So with the way WRC Plus has grown over the past couple of years, you know, I'd like to see some more on board from some of the classes, and maybe some more sort of substantial roundups on the website, and to go from there really. But yeah, I think that those would be the two sort of major things that I'd raise to add to what you've been saying there, right?
I think they, you know what, absolutely great points, by the way, about the classes. And you know, I of all people are very passionate about classes and why other classes should get coverage, and I think you've absolutely, yeah. Rye, have we sorted out the WRC between the three of us?
Well, I think we've started down a road of opening a can of worms, probably. I think it's probably something we should revisit. Let's see what else people come up with, and let's maybe talk about it a little bit further. There's obviously, you know, I'm sure the promoter has a lot of plans in place of where they want to go next. And I think, like Jack said, I think America is vitally important to get it in the championship. China's going to have to come whether we like it or not. But, you know, just for me, nice to get somehow a little bit more character in some of the rallies, and not have these three stages and then suddenly stop for 2 hours. But let's see where it goes, and maybe we'll revisit
it. I'm sure plenty of people want to get involved on Twitter. You know where we live now on Twitter. I'm sure you do. It's @_rally. And by all means, drop us an email. We are picking up the emails and stuff now, so please go in via the website. It's absoluterally.co.uk, and you can contact us via there as well. Boys, this is kind of the end of the programme, but I will leave you with a tiny any other business. I was working over last weekend, and I was hosting an event for a big radio station, and I was hosting the comedy stage, and there's 600 people in there, and it's the other end of the United Kingdom, and yet I look down on the front row and there's guys who work at M Sport, which was really disconcerting to see some bods from M Sport in the front row of a gig that I was doing approximately 400 miles away from them. But there you go. But still, we didn't get bogged down in Bognor Regis. We just kind of left it there, and I didn't do any material about Group B cars or World Rally cars or anything like that. Anyway, thanks for your input, fellas. Cheers.
Well, it's not a lot we can ask.
I thought you might have just went, oh, that's a small world, isn't it? I thought I might have got something.
Yeah, it is a small world.
Anyway,
yeah.
So yeah. There you go. Folks, thanks for the downloads. You know where we live. It's @absolute_rally on Twitter. And spread the love, spread the word. And we'll be back same time, same place in your podcast hole next week.